Not everyone who said the sinner's prayer has real faith. He said, Pastor, are you sure about that? Oh, I hope you're listening today. Because here's the key. The faith that saves must result in a changed life.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message by Pastor Brian Grant we will hear tonight continues to look at the life of Abraham recorded in the book of Genesis. Using lessons from the life of this man, Pastor Grant challenges our own hearts about the genuineness of our own faith. He asks, how can we tell real faith from counterfeit faith? Listen with us now as Pastor Grant lists for us some of the marks of real faith demonstrated in the life of Abraham. Pastor Grant will be referencing various scriptures, so we invite you to keep your Bibles handy and follow along with us as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Part 2. Here now is Pastor Grant.
John had just purchased a new Honda motorcycle, and he parked it in front of his home so his friends could get a chance to see this brand new bike. It started to rain, and of course, John didn't want his bike to get wet, so he decided he'd take the bike inside. He put some boards across the step to make a ramp, and he decided he was going to ride his bike up this ramp onto the porch. He misjudged the power of this brand new bike. So instead of stopping on the porch, the bike crashed through the front door into the living room, crashed into the TV, and down he went. He fractured his collarbone. Gasoline and oil was spilled all over the living room. The ambulance came. They got him. They took him to the hospital. And while he was there, his wife and his daughter decided to clean up all the mess. They got rags to sop up all the gasoline that was in the living room. And they took the rags and they wrung it out, all that gasoline in the toilet. And after a while, John returned from the hospital all bandaged up, cast. And he decided he was going to use the toilet. And he sat on the toilet. And like some people just do, he decided to smoke a cigarette. So he lit a match, lit his cigarette, and he threw the match in the toilet. You know what happened, of course. There was an incredible response from the toilet. A big fire broke out, and poor John was like a rocket. He was burned. The ambulance had to be called again. Same ambulance, same people. And as they were taking John out of the house, one of the guys asked his wife, what happened? And when he heard the story, he could hardly keep composed. He broke out laughing, and he laughed so hard, he slipped on the step, and down went the stretcher. More broken bones. Poor John. What a day. Life doesn't always go according to our plans. Have you noticed it? You know, for some of us, the dreams we once had have been shattered, and we've been caught in a whirlwind of problems. I wonder if there's somebody who has come into this God's house this morning, and as you've come into God's house, you are finding yourself in a whirlwind of problems. We're going to be talking about that this morning. Because this morning, I want to continue a message I started about 2 weeks ago entitled, How to know for sure if your faith is real. And one of the things I pointed out the last time, that real faith has got to have a starting point, and real faith cannot happen unless you have said the sinner's prayer. You cannot be sure, you cannot get on the road to heaven unless There is a point in your life that you have opened your heart to Jesus Christ and have said this sinner's prayer, where you have come to God and said, God, I am a sinner. I need your salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for my sin. Please come into my heart. You cannot be on the road to heaven unless you have said the sinner's prayer. But don't miss this, because this is the point of the message the last time. Don't miss this. Not everyone who said the sinner's prayer has real faith. You say, Pastor, are you sure about that? Oh, I hope you're listening today. Because here's the key. The faith that saves must result in a changed life. The faith that saves, it's not just a matter of saying the sinner's prayer. The faith that saves must result in a changed life. My Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. So point number one, which we showed you last week, real faith is evidenced by what? By good works. Amen. Real faith is evidenced by good works, because the faith that saves is a faith that results in a changed life. But today, I want to consider another important aspect of real faith. Real faith will always be tested. God had promised Abraham he would be the father of many nations, but there was a big problem. Abraham had no son. It's hard to be the father of many nations if you have no kids. In fact, it's also hard if you have no son. And so Abraham waited and waited and waited, and finally, when Abraham was 100 years old, God miraculously gave Abraham his promised son, Isaac. Now, if this was a fairy tale, we would say, and he lived happily ever after. But this is not a fairy tale. And so in Genesis 22, which was read so beautifully in your hearing, God asked Abraham to do the most difficult thing of his life. Turn in your text to Genesis chapter 22. And if you're a visitor, feel free to bring your Bibles to this church, because we actually use the Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. If it ain't in the Bible, it doesn't count. So let's see what it says here in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What did verse 1 say? God tested Abraham. But does God test Christians today? Flip over, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. And here's what it says in verses 2 to 4 of this chapter. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Notice, James does not say, if you fall into trials. He said in verse 2, count it all joy. What? When you fall into trials. Because guess what? Every Christian will experience trials. You know, some Christians pass out when they pass through difficult times. Some even question the goodness of God. Because I've heard some Christians say, listen, if God is so good, why would he allow tough things and difficult experiences? Why would a good God allow difficult experiences to come my way? We're going to get there. Before we get there, I need you to realize some important things about trials. Number one, I want you to realize trials are painful circumstances that God allows to bring about change in our conduct and change in our character. God allows trials to come our way to bring change into our lives. Number two, some trials are designed to discipline us. You know, sometimes you run into Christians who are living and harboring sin in their life, and they figure it seems like they're going to get away, and they hope to get away and to pay no consequence for that. But listen, God will discipline every sin. Every unconfessed sin is going to be dealt with, so we had better deal with sin very, very quickly. In fact, I would say to somebody, if you are one of those who are here this morning and you have been living in sin, you claim you're a Christian, you said the sinner's prayer, and you're living in sin, and you're not experiencing the discipline of God, you had better check to make sure your passport for heaven is really valid. Make sure your faith is real. If you are living in sin and claim to be a Christian, you had better make sure you really have a valid passport, because my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 8, if you are not disciplined, if you do not experience the discipline of God, you are not really a child of God. As some versions put it, you are not a child, you are a bastard. You're an illegitimate child. Make sure that your faith is real. But thirdly, trials are painful circumstances God allows. Some trials are designed to discipline us, but some trials are designed to test us. There is a false teaching around that suggests that Christians should not have problems. Have you ever heard that stuff? I remember when my sister-in-law, now home in glory, was sick. Some people came to my brother, not Richard, but my other brother, and they said to him, your wife needs to deal with God about her sin. Now, you know, we have certain people who will heal her if she will just get rid of her sin. You see, there is this mindset among some Christians that if things are not going right, it has to do with sin. But I want you to know that tests have nothing to do with sin.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
God was testing Abraham, and Abraham had done absolutely no sin at this time. It had nothing to do with sin. Job was tested. It had nothing to do with sin. Listen, discipline is because of our sin. Tests are not because of sin. But by the way, when you pass through trials, Christian, don't quickly say I'm being tested. Oh, I can hear them at the prayer meeting. Oh, I'm passing through a big test. You better make sure it's not discipline. Because sometimes we don't want to deal with the reality that God is disciplining us. And if he's disciplining us, what do we need to do? Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that there is room? But why does God test us? Number one, God tests us to prove us. Test. To test means to prove by trials. That's what it means to test. To test means to prove by trials. Why does God test us? He's testing us to prove us. Most schools give tests. Am I right about that? Why do they give a test? They give a test because a test proves something. It helps the teacher determine if we mastered the material we were taught. Admittedly, in the scholastic world, there are some errors. When I was in college, my marketing professor thought I had mastered the material. I got the best grade in the class. And God knows I knew nothing about how I did it. It was the biggest surprise of my life that I passed the thing. So sometimes a test at school can give a false result. Kids, by the way, I hope some of my teens are listening to me. Kids, work hard in school. Good grades matter. Tests prove something to the teacher, but tests prove something to me. It ought to prove something to us. Tests help us to determine our progress. Am I right about it? Don't you feel like you're making progress when you got that A? I hope you've experienced that A, or at least a B plus. We ought to, when we're in school, we ought to give it our best. Go for it. I know some of my African-American young men, when they go to school, people tell you if you get too many A's, something is wrong with you, you're B. Oh yes, you better believe it. Black young men are put under pressure not to be high achievers. But you better give it your best. You see, all those guys who want to laugh at you, nobody's going to come and help you when later on you can't even get a job. Come on now, give it your best. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Tests help us. And I can tell you personally how good I felt when I was in school at some of the results, because I knew I was coming along. So we're in the marketing. I don't know how that one happened. When I went to a math exam, because of past results, I felt pretty good. It helps you to feel I can do this. Tests help us. But listen, God's tests also provide help in determining our spiritual progress. Did you know that? But who do they help? Now this is important, get this. Who does God's tests help? You see, the test at school helps the teacher to determine your progress, and it helps you. But who does God's tests help? Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. Here's what it says in verse 12. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Now I know that you fear God. Does God send tests into our life to help him determine what we will do? You know, sometimes we Christians forget our theology. And you always want to grab your theology. And when you read scriptures like this, make sure you don't forget what you know. And one of the things you know and I know is that God is omnipresent, but he's also, in terms of knowledge, he is what? He's omniscient. Omniscient means God what? He knows everything. God knows everything. 1 John 3:20 lets us know God knows everything. So guess what? This God who knows everything, he obviously must have known what Abraham would have done. It's important we get that, because sometimes you may sit in a Bible study and you hear people breaking this passage down and they say, listen, God was able to find out what Abraham would have done. No, God didn't need to find out what Abraham would have done, because God is omniscient. You see, sometimes God says things in the scriptures, and sometimes he says things to us for our benefit. God comes to Adam and he says, "Adam, where art thou?" Where are you, Adam? You mean God didn't know where he was? God was asking Adam where. It was for Adam's benefit. And God is asking some of you right now, where are you? Because some of you need to own up and say to God, "God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. God, I still don't have a relationship with you. God, I'm still running from you." Oh, I know there are people here in the audience this morning. You are still running from God. You have not run to God. You are still running from relationship and from fellowship. And God is asking you, where are you? Oh, God, don't think God doesn't know where you are. God knows everything about you. He knows that you need his salvation. He knows that right now you have not received his son. He knows that right now you're on your way to a lost eternity, to hell. And he's saying, where are you? He wants you to own up. So when God says to Abraham, now I know that you fear God, God was giving Abraham affirmation. It's as if the Almighty God was saying to Abraham, Abe, you've received an A plus. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt that God himself said to him, you've gotten an A plus on this exam. Don't miss this. God's tests are not designed to tell God anything. God's tests are designed to prove to us that our faith is maturing. Amen? Amen? So why is God testing us? God's test is to help you determine, are you progressing on the spiritual journey? You know, God is testing some of us right now. For some of you in the audience, God is using a health crisis. For some of you, he may be using a financial crisis. For some of you, he's using a family crisis. For some of you, he is using a marital crisis. And I urge you, make sure you pass the test. Don't quit. The test that you're going through, you need to pass it. And don't say you can't, because the test is an open book test. How many of you liked open book tests? How many of you failed your open book test? We got one honest person. This is an open book test. We can go through our test with an open Bible. Somebody say amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, and remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.